everyone. It's time to eat, drink, and be merry with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Eat, Drink, and Be Merry show. We like to eat, drink, and be merry. And today we're going to go to Seattle. We're going to talk about an amazing experience that you can have at Starbucks. This is beyond your typical Starbucks shop, right? And of course, you know, it's the first Saturday. So, you know, Diva Linda Kassam, the food, wine, and shopping diva, is back on the show. She's here every first Saturday, and she always has something delicious or something extraordinary to share with us. And today, again, it is about Starbucks. I couldn't believe this, but welcome to the show. Welcome back, I should say, Diva Linda. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. I'm very excited to share this Seattle find, this super cool thing to do when you're here. It's or you could go to six other places, but they're all like Shanghai and Milan and so forth. So, you know, give it a shot. This is a wonderful, wonderful place to go, especially if you love coffee.
Yeah, this is interesting to me because I know Seattle, like that was where the whole coffee scene started with Starbucks. And then was it Pike's Marketplace that it started?
Yeah, Pike Place. Yeah, mm-hmm. Their first one, yeah.
Okay, first and then store. It's all across the country, right? Oh, and they the end world. Up in the news for all kinds of things. But this is what I think is interesting. So you went to a roastery, which I didn't know you could do. Number two, you had an experience. And I'm finding this interesting because I think a lot of brands, you know, they do something really cool, then they expand and then it becomes franchise and it becomes this thing across the country. And then everybody's got that uniform. Here's what you get, which is what people want. And that's why it's a franchise kind of thing. But then I think even hotel brands are starting to realize we need to do a little bit different, you know? So your story on this and everyone, Linda's articles on blendradioandtv.com, links, everything's linked in the show notes, no matter where you're listening or watching. And this to me is one of those experiences that show us that brands can branch out from the brand, but still be the brand, right?
Right, right. This is just like a step above normal. So everybody's been to a Starbucks coffee place. And they, just like you said, you know the routine. You know that when you walk in, where you're going to order, what you'll be able to order. It's just like no surprise. I didn't understand that they have a creative place to go that then feeds down to the normal places that everybody goes to. So this roastery, and again, there's only six in the world, if you can believe it. I'm sure they'll add more, but it's a much more extensive version of itself. And this is where what they called the staff that was there when I was talking to them, they said, well, what happens is they have geniuses at corporate Starbucks who want to try this and that and come up with A, B, and C. But they have to have a place to try it out before they send it off to every Starbucks.
Okay.
So they might think of 20 things. Corporate says you can do 10 of those. That goes down to the roasteries. The roasteries try them and they're really grand and glorious. Who knew that you could get a coffee float from Starbucks? You can. And that was part of my I went there for a tasting experience. And who knew you can get a Starbucks float, but only at a roastery can you do that. Okay. I mean, I just can't see. I don't think they figured out quite how they're going to get it down to the regular Starbucks because they would have to have ice cream freezers and all sorts of stuff. But it's a fun little thing. And here, and so when you go to Starbucks, we all know how to get a cup of coffee or an espresso or whatever. And then you take it to your car or you sit in the little shop. These roasteries are huge. They're like 10 times the size Wow. of a regular Starbucks. And they serve full different things. They're really big into what they call single origin coffees. And that would be, so it's just like wine. So they found a specific coffee place grower that they love And they use this to make what they call a single blend coffee. So it's from a specific source, and they're not adding anything in it to brighten it up, to hype it up, to bring it up or down. It's just like wine. It's a good idea. Mm. And not all the Starbucks will get single roasted coffees. Like we had our little gift to
it's
take
almost like a estate. It's almost like an estate coffee.
It is just like an estate coffee. And we took home an Ethiopian single blend coffee, which is very interesting after our three things. And who knew, I mean, when I did this tasting, that there were food and coffee pairings. So as we all know, when you go to a regular Starbucks, there's bakery items, right?
Right, pastries.
That's their big deal. You're not going to get a pizza there. You're not going to get a loaf of bread
there. There's pizzas. Oh, let me look. Show people that pizza. The pizzas look so good.
Oh, they are. Everything. Of course, everything Starbucks does, I think, is really good. And now I understand how it goes through this process and how they figure out what they can and can't do at the regular Starbucks. I'll be interested to see if the Starbucks floats ever get to the regular ones. I know they tried wine.
I want that.
Do you remember they put wine in some of the Starbucks? Wine is a featured item in the roasteries. You can get wine.
Ooh.
Yeah, you can. And I think it's a staple, but it didn't work real well at the Starbucks, regular Starbucks, because they had to have people over a staff over 21 there.
So this is, 21. This is like a specialty experience. Like you get your brand hotels, and then there's the brand hotel deluxe with all the other trimmings, right? So this is like the cruise ship of Starbucks.
It really is. I mean, you can go there and you can sit down, and what they're really wanting you to do is to interact with their staff. So generally when you go to a Starbucks, they're too damn busy to interact with you. You go to the roasteries, and they are amazingly busy. I mean, it was like going to a shopping mall during Christmas. It's just a normal day. And Seattle culture is very interesting because people don't like you driving your cars around anymore. They really want you to do alternative thinking. So with that, they put this roastery in with no parking in a place called Capitol Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Very busy. Very swanky. And so if you go, you're going to have to find alternative parking. Better take an Uber in there and or a bus. They have good bus line there too.
Did you row your boat in?
I should have. I would have liked that. Docked my boat there and just got off. So
yeah, really. Breakfast is taken care of.
Yeah, I'm telling you that the place was jam packed. And once again, back to the tasting experience. They really want you to talk with somebody about what you're purchasing and why you're purchasing it. They now have one of the other things that we had is a shaken coffee drink, and they call it a Shakeroo Bianco. And so they put the coffee contents in a really a cocktail shaker, and they shake it and shake it and shake it until they get it to where it's supposed to go, and then you drink it. It's quite amazing. But once again, you can't get that experience at a Starbucks that I know of.
It looked like flair bartending to me.
Yeah, mm-hmm, because
a little bit of that.
Yeah. But as I understand it, quite a few of the Seattle area staff for all the Starbucks go through the big roastery.
Uh-huh.
And I think they think if you can make it there, which, I mean, you're on 24 hours, not 24, 12 hours a day, you are just, I mean, they're just constant people wanting stuff all the time. And there's, as I said, there's several places to talk just about coffee, to buy just coffee, but then you can get pizzas and bread. Whoever thought they were bread makers, for God's sake, but they make bread, you take that home too. And I guess they're probably using the same oven that they use the pizza for the bread. And then there's this amazing, the actual roastery, which is what this is all about. So all the single origin coffees go to the other Starbucks, the normal Starbucks, are roasted at the roasteries. So it has this pneumatic sort of fancy show off kind of roastery of how the coffee gets from one place to the other. And you can take tours if you want. The tasting classes, I think they were rather expensive, but they're small classes. They're about 6 to 8 people. Mm-hmm. You buy it online, and mine was $65 a piece. So I thought that was a bit much.
There Especially when you're helping them with their product focus group.
That's right. You are helping them to figure out if this product is going to work.
Yeah, you're a focus group.
That's a very good way to put it.
They should pay for your Uber.
Really? And they and the staff is so well trained.
I think it is about it being a very unique and specialized experience. I think maybe that's why the price, because I think that's what, you know, sometimes you get to that point in business, like wine. People are like, why is this bottle like $50 when around the corner I can go to a different winery and get it for $15? Well, it's not the same wine, number one. And there's a reason why. I think it's about it being this elevated, you know, 1 in 6 roasteries in the world. So if they start adding a gazillion roasteries and charging the same, then you lose that quality. So I think it's about it being special.
Well, and I would pay it again. They have classes.
Oh, wow. So it was worth it.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. I was just surprised at the price.
Yeah.
But, and I live in Seattle 6 months a year. Well, sort of in Seattle. I have a boat moored here. And Seattle in general is much more expensive than the other place I live, which is Phoenix, Arizona. So prices of everything are a little bit more. But I'm assuming you're paying for the experience, well trained, fun people doing your
minimum wage is at the top. In Seattle, just like California and New York.
That's sure. You are absolutely right. Mm-hmm. So these people are just crazy amazing. And I don't know, I had a great time and I learned a lot. And as I say in my article, I forgot to tell my husband, who came with me, to whatever you do, don't drink up the whole drink. Just like wine. It's a tasting. They're going to give you a cup, but don't do it. I mean, they're in fancy glasses.
What do you mean, just like wine, Linda? Come on.
Yeah, well, because if you drink a lot of wine during a tasting, you're going to be on the
floor. You lose your tasting.
If you drink a lot of coffee, if you drink it all down, you're going to be lit up like a firecracker. And he kept saying, I feel so good. I feel so good. And he said, I feel, you know, nervous, nervous. And I said,
So now he wants to start working on the boat?
Okay, let's just get out. Which... I think that's where the solar panel, which I haven't discussed with you, idea came. So we now have solar panels.
Oh, he got lit up on the boat. Truly.
Who knew? Who knew you could even put them on a boat? But yes, we have. But back to the
cool.
Yeah. So anyway, you can buy souvenirs there, pastries, all the coffees you love are there, but there are a whole lot more espresso drinks that you can buy that are not in the regular Starbucks.
Do they do anything with chocolate and coffee put together?
I didn't see any items to buy that had espresso and chocolate, which I thought they probably would have, but I think they should. And maybe on another coffee tasting, that would be included. As I said, these things change almost monthly. I'm guessing it's because they're pushing new product out to see how well it does. Mm-hmm. And after they have us come in, if they do these tastings, there are 2 or 3 that you can choose from a day, 7 days a week.
Oh, wow. Okay. So they're doing quite a bit, but the chocolate thing, that's just me. Cause suddenly I just had a craving for it. There's all this, they're talking about coffee floats and everything. And I'm suddenly like, I don't know. I want like a coffee milkshake with chocolate, dark chocolate.
I think coffee goes really, really well. I was sort of hoping for a chocolate croissant with the coffee tastings. That would have been so good.
I'm a sucker for a croissant. A really good croissant, nice crispy on the outside, melted, just warmer, buttery, yummy. Oh yeah. You and I have this amazing taste of food, pickles, all of it. But yep. That's so funny about you and coffee, because I think we've always talked with you about tea, but the coffee thing is a thing for you too, huh?
So I used to write a coffee and tea newsletter when I was much younger. I think when I was in my 30s, maybe 40s, I can't remember. But it was about 2-3 years. So I learned about coffee cupping and coffees and coffee events and all sorts of things. And then my interest turned more towards wine, as you know.
Well done.
But you go to Seattle, and what do? There's coffee everywhere. It's quite exciting. They have these little tiny coffee drive-throughs.
So oh, I love them.
You can have coffee. You can't go in because they're really tiny little huts, and they're all painted differently, and you can just taste different ways people make coffee, companies make coffee. There's even one that serves it in bikinis.
I think what's so great about this, like Seattle and, the Pacific Northwest during the winter, here comes that gloomy kind of look. But what I found is the Pacific Northwest, some people just embrace it and live with it that way. And then some people embrace it with, we're going to paint everything bright colors. We don't care. Like the house is going to be orange or bright yellow or bright blue, especially by the coast. We're going to get with it. And then you go, you know what I mean? And then the coffee. Yeah, because otherwise you could just go, it's a dreary day, I'm going back to bed. I mean, that it can happen there. But, and I think the coffee and the wine make sense together. It's a good balancer, right? It's like, have your coffee in the morning, tea in the afternoon, then here comes the wine at night. It's a perfect blend, right? That's the day.
Absolutely. Isn't it? I would agree 100%.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you can get tea at Starbucks.
Yeah, you know what I really like is where you could go to tea places and you can get like whole leaf tea, and like they have things like little different fruits and different, like you can pick the kind of leaves, and I like herbal blends. I'm really into that a lot, and green teas because they're good for us. Got to clean out the wine.
Well, I am going to go to an afternoon tea at the Empress Hotel in Victoria in about a week. So we'll be talking about that, and we'll be back on my, obsession for tea. And there are a couple other things in Victoria that I want to see that are coffee, tea, cheese, and wine related.
Oh, so with you being on the boat now, right? I know that you go into Canada and everything. You're going to be obviously doing that. Is it like going through on an airport, like in customs and stuff, or is it easy to go through? I mean, obviously you can't have a boat DUI. You're not allowed to have a DUI to get into Canada. Do not have a DUI and try and go into Canada. Like, everybody, I just want to tell everyone to know that. I don't have a DUI. I do not have a DUI, nor will I ever get one. I'm touching all wood. I just choose not to live that lifestyle of that way.
Every boat.
I love my wife, but I don't do that.
Every boat has a special number assigned to it. And when you come into Canada, all boats are required to go through customs. And so they check your number to see.
They check your wine stash.
As a matter of fact, they ask you how much liquor and or wine do you have aboard. You're only allowed to have X amount, because apparently somebody at some point came in and was bringing wine in undercover and then selling it, without the proper custom tags. So they ask you that. They ask you about firearms. They can tell by the number on your boat if you've been pulled over by the Coast Guard and all that kind of stuff, or whatever they call the Coast Guard. So, during COVID, we went there on our way to Alaska, and they even checked masks. Let me see, what are your masks aboard? Are you wearing them? And then we had to check in, if you can believe in this. It was a 12-day trip from Seattle to Alaska, and Canadian Customs made us call in every single day to tell them where we were and what we were doing. Yeah, no getting off the boat. You're not allowed to get off the boat unless you're getting fuel, and only one person can do that. You just can't get off. If you want supplies, you have to call, and they bring it to your boat. So
what happens if you need a wine run? This is not good, Linda.
Well, you can get the wine run if you call that place and have them deliver it to your boat. So,
well, that's kind of cool in a way.
Well, it is. Yeah. So anyway, that's all over now. But anyway,
boat dash. It's boat dash.
You know what's fun is I think what's fun too is visiting this. Getting back to Starbucks is visiting the different Starbucks in different countries. So
oh,
I've been all
okay.
around the world, and I've been to all to as many as I can do, and they all have that same feeling, mm-hmm. and they all have the same pastries. Pretty much, there's some. As I understand it, they can do some deviation if they really want to, but mostly it's controlled by Starbucks, which is what you said. If you buy a franchise, you're going to have mm-hmm. to, and if it's a company-owned one, it's really strict. But, you know, it's just like a bit of home. You go in and you know what you're going to get, and so I enjoy doing that. Of course, I like also going to in other countries to other coffee shops to see you
the
know,
difference
how they
are doing. I think there's something about sometimes you want home, because if you're traveling a lot you want that. Like honestly, if I don't have good guacamole, my biggest fear is to not have avocados. That's my biggest fear is of
yep.
travel is not having avocados.
Yep.
And I can't help it, but it is who I am. And if they don't have wine, and that's something I've learned. Oh my God, I should write a wine report about where you can buy wine. Do you know in Kansas City where we are, you can't buy wine in a grocery store. You can buy beer. You have to go to a liquor store for the wine. And then if you want liquor, it's behind the counter. It's like a whole different, you know.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Actually, Seattle went through that, or Washington State.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, you have the liquor tax.
Yes.
Your liquor tax.
So you don't. So we don't want to buy a lot of liquor and wine mm-hmm. here because the tax,
it's more expensive. The taxes, they call it a sin tax.
Yeah, I know. But at least you can get whatever you want in the markets now. Before you had to go to a state-run store, and the hours were never those that the working people could go to. I don't know how they survived. That's probably why they gave up, they being the government.
I don't think
Seattle.
The government should ever run liquor or wine.
I agree.
It shouldn't run casinos. It shouldn't do anything fun because it's not fun. I'm just saying, that's my own personal opinion. But I prefer your Seattle experience with Starbucks. That was kind of eye-opening to me because, you know, we don't really do much on franchises and stuff like that. But if you look at it realistically, a franchise owner is a small business owner, and it's a way franchise companies is part of the small business sector of America that we should, or around the world, like, you know, you're saying Starbucks around the world, that we shouldn't just go, oh, Starbucks is a big, you know, national, international name brand. Franchise companies, I think it's a way for small business people to become entrepreneurs, have some guidance, have some formula, but I do see these brands do something a little different. They'll have, here's what we're supposed to do and need to do to keep the brand, but now we're going to do some kind of twist for where we are. I see it like the Marriott hotels have really started to do that. Their decor has changed a bit, so you feel like you're in the area. I see this nice balance coming in, which I think is important. And I do believe we've got to give, you know, when we think about these big companies and corporations, franchise companies are a very viable small business. And when we think mom and pop stores, a lot of them start off in franchises.
I think there are some people who have very specific ideas about what they want their company to be, small business, meaning, you know, they want to open a specific type place that they've always had in their head. And there's others that say, I want to be an entrepreneur, but I have no idea what I'm doing actually. And so a Starbucks or a Wendy's or a, you know, McDonald's gives them the structure that they need to first start out. And then afterwards, if they love it, of course, they can continue buying franchises wherever they like. The first one's hard to get because the company that is giving out the franchises are very, very strict and really concerned about whether you can make it even a year. And, but you have more of a chance if you have a brand name, but then once you do well, you can get more, or you can start, you might have a different idea of what else you want to do. And now that you've done all the paperwork and you've done all the invoicing and all the all the stuff you have to do to own a franchise. If you mm-hmm. can survive that, you can do your own business. You really can.
I agree. I really agree. I think we need wine franchises, you know, because if you think about what Starbucks did for coffee, how many people were just drinking that typical swill, like, a, you know, here's the, you know what I mean? Here's yeah. the stuff that didn't go through anything. And when you start to learn about coffee, then you start learning about, oh, we don't want, or, you know, stuff sprayed. We want it to be fair trade. We want this and that. We start to understand. And when something goes national and global like this, it lifts our awareness of things that we didn't know about. So I think we need it for wine. I'm just saying.
You know, they do have some.
Oh, there's a painting and wine bars.
I was going to say, cool. they've combined that and that tends to work. There are franchises where, like Bevmo, or something like that, where they really walk you through it. You don't need anybody. The shelf talkers that they have will tell you exactly what you're buying on every single wine, the notes, why mm-hmm. they chose it as a good bargain or why or whatever. There's four different levels. There's the $100 bottles, $50 bottles, the $25 bottles, and that, you know, the $4.99 bottles. That was really, I was really amazed when I went into one right here next to the boat, and you could spend all day just reading their shelf talkers about wine. You know, why is, you know, what does this wine offer? What does that wine offer? I mean, it's just hours of stuff. Or you can just ask the clerk and say, I want a medium body or low.
I want a taste first. That's what I would do.
Oh, yeah. You know, they don't do as much tasting in these places as they used to. Something must have happened. I don't know.
Some of the independent liquor stores. So like in Florida, they have the ABC Liquors. Now, ABC is also a liquor store, like a state run in North Carolina. Pennsylvania, I think, has one too. But so I went in, I was like, oh, is this like how all states call it? And they're like, no, we're actually Florida's oldest run family liquor store. Now we're everywhere. So I was like, oh, I'm glad I'm supporting you versus a government. Sorry, no offense to government, but I'm just saying, you know, I like things to go to a family. And so I started learning about that. And so some of these, like Texas has the same thing. They also have liquor stores versus grocery store. You can get beer and wine in a liquor grocery store, but you can't get it. And some places are dry. Everything's a little different in the South, right? But the one in Lubbock, Texas, I went in there. They had local tastings. Some of these, really, Florida does it. I think Pennsylvania, they had local, like tequilas, local, like not local tequila, but you know what I mean? Local.
I do.
And they're like, do you want a tasting? And I'm sitting there going, no, because I don't want to get in my car after that. But it looks like fun, you know? But I just kind of was in shock, and I wish I'd done it, because I got in the car and I was like, you could have just had a tiny sip and left. You didn't need to, you know what I mean? But I just kind of, you know how we gave that immediate no, which is really wrong. But I think that's kind of cool. Like, in a way, there's this interesting balance. We want everything in a grocery store for convenience. But then the liquor stores, which is a family-based business, they lose out. And I like that they do these tastings. The smaller, you know, so it's kind of this, it's an interesting conversation, Diva Linda, who knew we'd go into these little depths. So power to the small business. That's what I say. And, you know, where big brands can, this is a good balance. Let's put it that way. That's cool.
Cool. If you open your own place or have a franchise, you won't be going on vacation for several years. Just.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you'll see Nancy and I doing any kind of. Things like this. I think we like to go and taste across the country more than anything, but always good to chat with you, Diva Linda. We can't wait for next time and to hear how the Victorian tea went, or the tea in Victoria went, I should say. But it sounds Victorian to me. La-di-da. Sparkling shoes. You going to get new shoes for the tea experience?
I have a new tea outfit and a tea necklace, which I'm going to be reviewing. I do. I have a new tea necklace. It is quite spectacular. So I'll wear it when we interview about going there.
Awesome. Well, listen, everyone, you can keep up with Diva Linda at allingoodtaste.info. It's pnwtourist.com, right, for your Pacific Northwest adventures?
Yes.
And everybody, this will all be in the notes of the show notes. And, of course, Her article is up on blendradioandtv.com, and she is here. The Diva Linda Kazam is here every first Saturday. You can keep up with us at bigblendradio.com for that. Thank you so much, Diva Linda.
Welcome. Thank you.